Chair, committee members, excellencies, colleagues, and brothers and sisters from Aotearoa New Zealand. Bonjour, tēnā koutou, talofa lava, greetings. Thank you for this opportunity. The Human Rights Commission is Aotearoa New Zealand's national human rights institution with A status accreditation. The first thing I'd like to bring to the attention of the committee is the rights of our Indigenous women, our Māori women in New Zealand, are at serious risk due to a lack of constitutional protection and regressive policy and legislative measures. Te Tiriti o Waitangi o Te Tiriti is New Zealand's founding constitutional document, affirms Māori women's Indigenous rights to sovereignty and self-determination. Yet Māori women and girls continue to experience inequities across almost every well-being measure, including health, justice, state care, employment, income and housing. 67% of women in our prisons are Māori, but Māori only make up 20% of the general population. Despite this, our government is currently working through a reform program that looks to further undermine Māori women's rights. That includes disestablishing the body created to advance Māori health equity and self-determination, introducing a bill to reinterpret Te Tiriti principles to omit reference to Māori self-determination and their particular Indigenous rights, and reviewing the role of Waitangi Tribunal, the primary avenue for Māori to raise claims regarding Crown breaches of Te Tiriti and the entity which is currently undertaking a major inquiry into Māori women's rights. The government has already overridden Māori rights recognised by the tribunal and courts and stopped all work to implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, or UNDRIP. We therefore urge the committee to recommend that the New Zealand government, number one, strengthen legal and constitutional protections of Te Tiriti, number two, take meaningful action to implement UNDRIP, and number three, ensure all law and policy reforms meet obligations under Te Tiriti and General Recommendation number 39. The second sphere of rights I'd like to bring to the attention of the committee is violence and abuse faced by women and girls. New Zealand, unfortunately, has one of the highest rates in the OECD of family and sexual violence, especially for Māori, Pacific, ethnic and disabled women. In 2022, and relevant to previous CEDAW recommendations, the government launched Te Aorerekura, a national strategy and action plan to eliminate family violence and sexual violence. However, there has been a recent reduction in funding to prevent and respond to sexual and gender-based violence. The government also ended a safety-focused regulatory review of online services and platforms before completion, despite a rise in targeted attacks on women in public and private online. This year, the report from the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Historical Abuse in State Care and Faith-Based Care was released. It revealed the grave extent of physical, psychological and sexual abuse that took place, in some cases amounting to torture. Abuse included regular intrusive genital exams and, quote, health checks, end quote, providing cover for abuse. Unmarried and pregnant women and girls were detained and exploited. The government has committed to designing a new redress system, but survivors still have no immediate prospect of full redress, including compensation and rehabilitation. We therefore urge the committee to recommend to the New Zealand government that, number one, they develop and implement an updated Te Aorerekura action plan and mainstream gender-specific issues; two, to resume the regulatory review of online services and platforms; and three, implement all the recommendations for the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse and Care, noting specific references to CEDAW and human rights. Thirdly, I would like to highlight women's social economic security for the committee's attention. In 2019, the Welfare Expert Advisory Group made recommendations to restore dignity to the social security system. Recommendations on indexing income support to wages and removing sanctions were progressed, but have recently been reversed. This will disproportionately affect the incomes of women, particularly older, disabled, Māori and Pacific women. The social security system still does not allow people to retain their individual incomes if they are viewed to be in a relationship, quote, in the nature of marriage, end quote. This creates risks for women, including social isolation, financial entrapment, and difficulties leaving violent or abusive relationships. In 2018, the in-work poverty rates in New Zealand range between 9 and 12%. This figure would be higher today, with the rate being substantially higher if the main income earner is a woman. For the year 2022 to 2023, 1 in 8 children in New Zealand lived in poverty. Many are children of parents and caregivers in paid work. Gender and ethnic pay gaps persist, as I'm sure some of our colleagues here from New Zealand have already spoken of. In 2022, the Human Rights Commission undertook an inquiry which found that for every $1 a European male earned, in comparison, a European female earned 89 cents, a woman female earned 81 cents, and a Pacific female earned 75 cents. The gender retirement gap widens in every age group category throughout women's working lives, culminating at 26.9% in the last decade pre-retirement. The previous government announced its intention to introduce mandatory gender and ethnic pay gap reporting, but the current government has decided not to progress mandatory reporting. Instead, it will develop a voluntary tool. The focus is primarily on the gender pay gap. This decision willfully neglects evidence that racism, ableism, and violence and harassment affect pay, progression, income security over a lifetime, and preparation for a dignified life in retirement for women. We therefore urge the committee to recommend to the New Zealand government, number one, adjust income support rates to those recommended by the Welfare Expert Advisory Group, adjusted for inflation. Two, individualise income support entitlements. Three, introduce appropriate temporary special measures to ensure equal opportunity by gender, ethnicity and disability. Four, introduce pay transparency legislation covering all size businesses and to eliminate pay inequity based on sex, ethnicity and disability. Number five, amend the Equal Pay Act 1972 to include ethnicity, disability, gender, and sex. And number six, ratify ILO Convention 190 on Violence and Harassment Convention. Thank you very much, committee, for the opportunity. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.